Hi, I'm Sean Duggan, and welcome to The Fix, the podcast about Lightroom, Photoshop, post-processing, and the cool and creative things that we get to do with our images after the shoot. My guest on this episode is Rob Sylvan, a photographer, teacher, and author, and we're going to be talking about our top tips for new Lightroom users. Don't touch that dial. Well, thanks for tuning in and joining me, as always. I do appreciate that. So the topic for the show this week is tips for new Lightroom users. And the idea for this came about just because I've been working with a lot of new Lightroom users recently, and there's just some things that come up over and over and over again. So to help me out with this, I reached out to my colleague Rob Sylvan. And I actually was on his podcast, his Lightroom podcast, last week. And we did a show about Lightroom local adjustments. Hey, Rob, how you doing today?
I'm great, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, well, you know, it's as I was just telling my wife the other day, it's kind of a, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch your back podcasting collaboration here. I'm on your show, you're on my show.
And it was great to have you on there. And it's, you know, it's one of the things I like doing about this Lightroom Hangout is I get to talk to so many people in our industry and just get to chat about Lightroom. So it's kind of nice to get to do it on someone else's show too.
Yeah. No, it was fun. And I appreciate the invitation. I had a lot of good time. So you are in Connecticut, if my memory serves me correctly.
A little further north, New Hampshire.
Oh, New Hampshire. Oh, okay. Well, I guess I was misinformed there. So do you have like a real winter yet? Is it snowy for you?
We haven't got snow yet. Below, you know, it's in the 20s Fahrenheit in the morning, you know, ice on stuff, but no snow has fallen yet. At least not where I am. So
yeah,
soon.
And we were supposed to get snow last night, but then it stalled off the coast and dumped all the moisture on the coast and kind of then changed direction. It was a total bust. So we have no snow.
That's too bad.
So I really like that that photograph of you that you provided with your bees. So in addition to a photographer, an author, a teacher, a Lightroom and Photoshop expert, you're also a beekeeper. How did you get into that?
Yeah, well, an aspiring one anyway. I you know, it's something that I've always been interested in. It's you know, where we live, it's pretty rural. We've got chickens as well, and bees kind of a natural. Once you get chickens, you kind of get into the bees too. And I've got a 14-year-old son. Yeah, it's totally slippery slope. And he helps me. He's interested in it. And I got to tell you, it's the one thing that I get to do that is totally not electronic. It's all wood and wax and bugs and smoke. And, you know, it's just outside, you're and nobody bugs you when you're with the bees. Nobody wants to come talk to you.
Except for the bees. The bees are the only bugs that bug you there, right?
they talk to you. And it smells so good. The wax and the honey when you're in there, it just smells great. Except there's one time a year here in September when goldenrod is blooming. When they bring the goldenrod nectar in, it does not smell good. It smells kind of like sweat socks. It just does not smell great. But other than that, once it's kind of cured in honey, then it smells good again. But
So that's due to the fact that the bees have been harvesting the pollen from the goldenrod? And there's
there's something about the goldenrod. I don't know what it is, but it doesn't smell great.
Well, that's fascinating, yeah. And I imagine there's lots of great photo opportunities for photographing the bees and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, I've done some macros with it. That one shot I just had set up on using the intervalometer in the camera and just had it taken some while I was actually combining two hives into one. So I knew it was going to be doing it for a while, and it was a gorgeous day. And most of the time, when I'm out there, either my hands are sticky or I've got gloves on. So it's not usually a great time to take a lot of pictures. And I don't usually try to bug them too much, just for photo ops.
yeah.
Yeah. Then we had a bear this year. We had our first bear come by.
Oh, did it try to get into the hive?
Yeah, this right at the beginning of spring, it came by, knocked it over, took top box off, dragged it away, and destroyed one of the boxes. And but I could tell where the plants were all flattened down. The bees must have been giving it some payback, because it must have just been rolling around, because all this area was flattened around there. But
yeah. Wow. Maybe it was Winnie the Pooh who came and grabbed the place.
Yeah.
So in addition to being a beekeeper, you are also very active in the Lightroom, Photoshop, digital imaging community. What else do you do on that front? I know you have a video title out at Peach Pit, and you do some stuff with the Kelby One group.
Yeah. So I kind of, you know, owe a lot to getting started with back when it was Knapp. I got onto the Photoshop help desk at the time, because Lightroom didn't exist at that time. And I was helping out members with Photoshop questions. And then when Lightroom first came out, and Knapp decided to include Lightroom in their support along with Photoshop, and Pete Bauer, who runs the help desk there, said, "How would you like to do the Lightroom stuff? And he'll keep doing the Photoshop stuff." And so since Lightroom first came out, I've been answering all the Lightroom questions that have come through for Knapp members and now Kelby One. And it's been great. It's given me a great window into how other people use Lightroom and some of the most common things people stumble over time and time and time again. And so helping out new users is something really near and dear to my heart, because that's what I spent a lot of time doing.
Yeah.
And then through that, I got to write for the magazine, you know, with you in our little Lightroom column, our section, I mean. I kind of think of like the Photoshop section of Photoshop User Magazine is kind of like the warm-up band for the Lightroom section that comes at the end, you know. So they,
right. Yeah.
They set it up for us. And then, you know, just from being a part of that, I had opportunities to write Lightroom books for Wiley Brothers. Did a couple books for them. Lightroom for Dummies I did. And then I did a Lightroom update. Nat Colson had started a Lightroom series and then didn't want to continue. So then they had me update a book for Lightroom 5 for him. And then I just did a Lightroom 6, Lightroom CC, about 10 hours of video for Peach Pit Press that just came out after Lightroom came out. And I'm just starting to do another Lightroom book, just like barely started, you know, going for another one for Peach Pit. So that'll be kind of more focused on just getting organized with your stuff.
And that's a big part of it too. Yeah, getting organized.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, that's the bulk of the questions I deal with are related to the kind of organizing management, you know, messes that people have to deal with.
So. Yeah. I know. I found that the same thing to be true, is that most of the questions, and major sort of problems or issues that I'm helping people with tend to deal more with, you know, organizational issues, and Lightroom not being able to find the pictures or whatever like that, rather than, you know, the develop module or things like that. Cause you know,
that's right.
Those are actually, I think, more easy to pick up, and there's not as much chance for chaos to be inflicted.
That's right. No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Cause it's all in the develop module. It's all what you see is what you get. You move a slider, it does something, you go, "Oh, okay, I'll do the opposite thing." And it's very intuitive, but the management library module, not as intuitive. Catalog, all that stuff just makes people want
to
cry. Well,
you know, and actually that's a good segue to actually start talking about some of these, you know, top tips that we've kind of cobbled together for new Lightroom users, things that we feel that are essential for new Lightroom users to know and to understand. So apropos, you know, the catalog that you just mentioned, what kind of tips do you have about that for a new user?
Well, first is just understanding what it is and what it isn't. Because some of the language inside of Lightroom is a little misleading too. So like this word importing, makes it sound like you're bringing your photos into Lightroom. And that is often how we talk about it, is you bring your photos into Lightroom. And probably more, you know, technically what we mean is that Lightroom is now becoming aware that these photos exist, and video too. I kind of forget the video capability of Lightroom, but it's like you go to a party and you exchange greetings with people, or maybe you give a business card and they get to know some information and about you, and vice versa. That's kind of like what the catalog does with your photos. It's like, oh, okay, nice to meet you. Give me all your XMP metadata. Great. I know where you live on the hard drive. Great. Why don't you go back home? Right. And that's it. And the catalog just stores that information about the photo. It doesn't store the photo. It's not like when you go to someone's house for a party, you don't move in and live there. You go home again. Right. So,
I love that analogy actually, because, you know, now whenever I work in Lightroom, I'm going to be picturing a cocktail party in like a suburban home.
That's exactly what I think about. And then, you know, so Lightroom, the catalog file is just like, you know, I'll guess you're probably close to me in my age. You remember what a library catalog looked like in the library when you went to the card catalog. You never would have thought that the books were also in the card catalog, you know, because when you walk into the library, you see all the books on the shelves, and you go to the card catalog to find out where is the book on the shelf, who wrote it, when was it published. That's what's in the catalog, in the Lightroom catalog, is that just like that card catalog. It's, you know, where does it exist on the shelf, meaning your hard drive? When was it taken? What was the shutter speed? You know, all that information is on the card, but the book or the photo in that case is somewhere else out in the library.
Or on your hard drive, basically.
So understanding that paradigm. Okay. What? So the import process is just data going into this database about the photo. And then the photo could also be, as part of that process, Lightroom could be saying, hey, let me help you out, and I'll copy the photo from your memory card to your hard drive. But it doesn't have to involve a copy operation. And so the main takeaway is information stored in the database. The photo lives on a hard drive. And if you can get that part down, you're way ahead of a lot of new users. And then, you know, taking it a step further, when you're looking at Lightroom, when you open up Lightroom, you're opening up this database. So it's not possible to open Lightroom without actually opening a database file. You can open Photoshop and not have a photo open, and you'll just see the interface of Photoshop. With Lightroom, it has to open some database. And one of the things that with Lightroom that I think can be really challenging for a new user is that when people start out, they tend to like maybe start, they launch Lightroom, they install Lightroom, they launch it, and a catalog's created. They really don't really know maybe what happened, and maybe they're watching a tutorial and they bring some photos in, and then they go, okay, this isn't the way I want to do it, and they start over and they make a new catalog. And, and then at some point they realize they don't know which catalog is what or where, and any Lightroom catalog can really look like any other catalog. It's not like, you know, one's green and one's red, you know, they look like your photos. So the next kind of big tip is, like, once you understand this paradigm of using a database, using this catalog, is to know where is your catalog located on your hard drive. What's it called? And, there's a special preference, that by default, I think is really problematic. It's one of these little pet peeves I've had since the beginning, and Adobe hasn't seen the wisdom to change it yet. But by default, if you go to the preferences inside of Lightroom on the general tab, there's a setting called the default catalog. And the setting that it ships with is load most recent, which is meaning that the most recently used catalog will be launched when you just click on the Lightroom icon in the dock or the taskbar or whatever however you launch Lightroom. And for many people, if you only have one catalog, that would be the most recent one, and that should be the one that always opens. But it seems to come to a point for many Lightroom users where they do actually have more than one catalog for some reason. And maybe it's because it's a backup copy or they got a new computer, who knows why, but they somehow open up another catalog and they go, oh, this isn't the one I wanted. And they close Lightroom. They don't really think about it. And they just launch Lightroom again. And it just opens up that same catalog again.
Right. Right. Or the other problem that happens with that is that the catalog that they open might not be the right catalog, but it looks similar enough to what the right catalog is that they're not immediately aware that they're in the wrong catalog. And so then they have, you know, multiple catalogs with some images in one and some images in another. And I helped out someone once who had, I lost track of how many catalogs they had that I found. I mean, it was close to 100.
Wow.
Yeah. And they were big catalogs and we didn't, they couldn't identify which was the right catalog. So it was an afternoon of catalog merging and lots of,
Lightroom 5 catalog -2-3-4. Yeah. It's, I've seen similar heartache come from that lack of awareness. So if you want to help yourself out, my best tip I can give any new Lightroom user is to go to that preferences. On Windows, it's under the edit menu. On Mac, it's under Lightroom and then preferences. And then click on the general tab and you'll see the default catalog drop-down menu there. And just click on that. Instead of load most recent, choose, you'll see when you open that drop-down, it'll list the actual path to the current catalog you have open. And just select that one because that's probably your number one default catalog and that's what it should open. That way, by hard coding in that specific catalog, you can noodle around in any other catalog, quit Lightroom, and have confidence that the next time you launch Lightroom, it will be the one that you actually want to do your work in.
Yeah.
And then there's another setting if you do have multiple catalogs like you were describing, or if you just want to always be in the driver's seat of making the choice, there's another option on that menu that's essentially says prompt me. So if you choose the prompt option, every time you launch Lightroom, you get this little select catalog dialog will pop up and you'll see all of your catalogs and you can choose which one you want to have open. And I think that's much more helpful than just having it automatically open the one it thinks you want to open. Like you wouldn't want Photoshop to just automatically open the last image you used because you may not want to work on that image, or maybe you have two copies and you don't know which one is which. So I think it really is more helpful for not just new users, but really all Lightroom users to be in the driver's seat of knowing what catalog you're working with.
I actually have a tip apropos that I have found to be very useful. And you sort of touched on this earlier when you mentioned that's the way that Lightroom names catalogs is initially by the version of Lightroom. It might say Lightroom 5 catalog. And then, and then when you update that catalog, then you get a new version of Lightroom, might say Lightroom 5-2 catalog or something. You get all these, sort of quasi generically named files. I always encourage people to rename the actual catalog file and the associated previews and smart previews file that go with that. And perhaps we should go in and talk about that. But and I rename it to something. Usually it's descriptive of the version of Lightroom. So like my catalog is called LRCC main catalog. So LRCC tells me the version. Main catalog sort of distinguishes it from a generic other name. And that way I know that this is my main catalog that I use. And then another thing that I do is I will actually change the identity plate so that it, and I'll, use, sometimes I use my logo, but sometimes I actually just have text that has the name of the catalog up there. It just says LRCC main catalog. Maybe I'll make it yellow or red or something. So that right off the bat, when the catalog opens, there's this visual badge, this visual signifier that tells me this is the right catalog.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. That's a great idea. You know, for folks who don't know where your catalog is, or maybe don't even know what it's named, Lightroom can help you with this. So assuming that you only have one catalog that you're working from, if you go back to that edit menu on Windows or the Lightroom menu on Mac, and instead of going to preferences, go to catalog settings. And then
Do you want to show that? Yeah,
I can share your screen. Sure. So here under the Lightroom menu, there's preferences, and I'll just, since I have it open, here's that default catalog menu, and I have it to mine, and I renamed mine Master Laptop Catalog, so I know that's my master catalog. Now, on this tab, there's also the Go to Catalog Settings button there, but I'll just show you under the menu. It's Catalog Settings. If I was on Windows, it would be under the Edit menu. And then when you open up the Catalog Settings, you go to the General tab, and here it shows you exactly where your catalog is stored. And by default, when you install Lightroom and it creates a catalog, it's going to most likely put it in this Pictures folder. Whether you're on Mac or Windows, it's going in the Pictures folder. And then it usually creates a folder called Lightroom. I renamed the folder there too, but yours might be called Lightroom. But if you just click on this Show button, it opens it up in Finder or in Windows Explorer and goes right to that folder. And if we look inside, you can see all of the files that make up this catalog that we see going on behind here. The LRCAT file, right? That's the catalog. That's the most important one. That's the database. That has all the information about the photos that have passed through that import process. And it has all the work that I've done inside of Lightroom, from keywords or develop adjustments, titles, captions, everything I've done inside of Lightroom, collection membership, all that stuff. That gets stored inside that catalog file. And then the other secondary file is this preview cache. And you had said if you're going to rename your catalog, you want to also rename that preview cache. And if I had smart previews, I don't have them with this particular catalog, then I would have another cache that had the word smart previews in it. And if I wanted to change this, instead of calling it Master Laptop Catalog, I wanted to call it Frank, I could do that. I want to have Lightroom closed, but I could, just using Finder here, or in Windows Explorer, just rename it. Just like you would rename any file on your hard drive. And then also rename, I would take out the Master Laptop Catalog part and put Frank in there and leave the word previews. And then, if you do that, this is what I recommend next. If you just double click on the catalog file, that will open it into Lightroom, because Lightroom is the default program for a catalog file, just like you might double click on a PSD file and it will open in Photoshop. That way you kind of get around that default catalog thing I was talking about before, and it'll just open that catalog right inside of Lightroom. You can go up to that menu and preferences and change that to point to your newly renamed catalog file.
Right. Yeah. And then the really important thing there to mention, you did mention it, but I just want to reinforce that for people, is that you don't want to be renaming the Lightroom catalog file while that Lightroom catalog file is open in Lightroom. You want to quit Lightroom so it's not open. And then why don't you explain what the lock and the journal file are? Because that always confuses people.
Perfect. So if you do this like I just did, and you're looking in this folder and you see a lock and a journal file, that tells you that catalog is open. And those files are there, the lock file is there to prevent any other user from accessing and opening this catalog file while it's being used. And the journal file is kind of like, my understanding is like a maintenance file in case there's a crash with the catalog. So they automatically appear when the catalog's open, and they automatically go away when the catalog's closed. So if you're going to rename your catalog and you see a lock in a journal file that says, that's a cue. Oh, that catalog is open inside of Lightroom. I'll just quit Lightroom, and those files go away. And now I'm just right back to just the LRCAT file and the LR data file, the catalog and the previews. After I change the name, I just double click on the catalog, and boop, it just opens right back up inside of Lightroom. And then I can go up to my preferences and make sure that the correct default catalog is being shown there. So,
excellent. So, listen, while you happen to have that open there, why don't you show people that tip that I mentioned about changing the identity plate up in the upper left corner. Sure. So if they wanted to give some sort of a visual signifier that they are in a certain category.
Yeah. So you can edit your identity plate setup up here under the menu. And right now mine's the Lightroom mobile one. There's some other ones there you can change it to. But if you want to personalize it, you can put in whatever you want here. You can put in a graphic here as well. If you had a logo, I think you had mentioned you might have a logo. Mm-hmm. But you can just put in your name or some kind of information. You can really go crazy and change the fonts and stuff like that if you wanted to do that. Some people see this as a branding opportunity. So maybe if you're a wedding photographer or portrait photographer, you might have customers sitting next to you while you're looking at your catalog. You might take this as an opportunity to brand the interface with your logo and your look and feel. And so, yeah, it's a totally great way to do that. And if it's also a cue for you that you're in if you're in the catalog that has your name or whatever information, then that can be really helpful as well.
You know, I have a client that I work with regularly, and you know, normally I advise people that, and actually this is, every situation is different, but normally I counsel people that, you know, have the fewer Lightroom catalogs you have, the easier your life will be. I can envision situations where, you know, maybe it might make sense to have, you know, especially if you're a commercial photographer or a wedding photographer, it would make sense to maybe have a Lightroom catalog for each wedding client, because, you know, once you're done with that job, you archive it and you really don't need to get at it on a regular basis. You export out your favorites, your hero shots from that, to maybe put into your own personal Lightroom catalog for, you know, your best shots you can use for promotion and stuff like that. But yeah. I have a client who has three Lightroom catalogs because the nature of the photographs is very different. So she has her regular Lightroom catalog, which is just all of her photographs that she takes of her family and just, you know, kind of her fine artwork and things like that. Then she has another catalog called Family Heritage, and that is just all scans of old pictures of, you know, from her family when she was young, her husband's family, and going back. She's got quite an archive of that. And then she also has another catalog called, I think, Household Inventory. And basically that's just there for insurance purposes. You get a lot of, art and antique furniture. And so she's photographed all of the, you know, important possessions that are there in the house. At first she had all these together and I said, you know, these are so very different that you rarely need to work with all of them at the same time. It kind of makes sense to have these in different catalogs. So she's used that tip that I mentioned and that you just demonstrated about changing the identity plate to have the name, it says Household Inventory, like in blue, and then the Family Heritage is in yellow. That way, when she opens up a catalog, there's no doubt about which catalog is open.
Yeah, that's great. That makes a lot of sense. And I think when people ask me about whether I should have one catalog or more than one, My answer is kind of what you said, is one is makes your life a lot simpler. If you're going to have more than one, it has to be so discreet that there's never any confusion. You're never trying to think which catalog is that photo in, because you don't want to do that, because that's Lightroom's job, is to be able to organize and manage and get its arms around your library. But if you've got a certain use case, that where it makes sense to have multiple catalogs, then it just means you need to have a external structure that organizes things for you so that you don't have to guess where things are. Like, you wouldn't want to have a puppies catalog and a flowers catalog, and then one day you take a picture of a puppy with a flower and then you go, wow, what do I do? You know, you don't want to have to try and, you know, do that. It has to be so discreet.
Yeah. Then you have to go into therapy, because it's like,
yeah,
oh, right.
Yeah. But if, you know, if it's by client and that makes a lot of sense for you, and you've got a folder structure or whatever you've got that organizes them by client or event or whatever the thing is that you do, if it makes sense to you and your brain and it scales well into the future, then it's probably okay.
Yeah.
But one catalog probably does make the life simpler for most people.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And of course there are, you know, exceptions to that depending on the type of work that people do, and how the organization of photos I've, you know, learned over the years just from dealing with many different photographers. It's kind of a very personal thing. We all have a way that makes sense for us. And, you know, there's no one right way to organize,
That's right.
photos. There are certain things to avoid and certain things that can, you know, cause problems and chaos, vis-a-vis the organization of your folder structure and Lightroom. But the one thing that I always tell people is that they should have, you know, don't rely just on Lightroom to know where their photos are. They should know where their photos are independent of Lightroom. And I actually tell people that, you know, you should know it well enough and be so familiar with it that you can sort of picture the folder structure in your mind of how your folders are organized for your images. You know,
Right.
maybe not down to the nitty-gritty level of every single folder, but just the big picture, high altitude view of where everything is,
Absolutely.
because that's essential. You need to know where they are in addition to Lightroom knowing where they are.
And for a really big reason in that Lightroom doesn't back up your photos and it doesn't have your photos inside of it. So management of your photos and safeguarding them and against catastrophe is entirely on our shoulders. So we have to know where those photos are, and we have to know that they're backed up safely at least one other location, if not two, and maybe one offsite if you really want to be
Yeah.
cover your bases. And so that all falls on us to take care of those things. So we need to know that for sure.
So vis-a-vis backup, that's another important tip that new Lightroom users, really any Lightroom user, needs to be familiar with. So there is a mechanism for backing up the catalog in Lightroom, but that, of course, does not back up the images.
That's right. Yeah, doesn't even back up the preview cache. It only backs up the catalog file, the database. And if you think about it, that makes sense because that's really where all your actual work is. And assuming that you're taking care of the photos and you're backing those up, if you had to restore for some kind of catastrophe, the previews could be just easily regenerated. Lightroom would just automatically start recreating those previews. So that's kind of a throwaway file in a worst case scenario. But all the work you've done in Lightroom, you want to make sure that's protected. And so Lightroom's automatic catalog backup functionality can really help you out. Now, I've heard from some people will say, well, you know, I already use Time Machine or I have a full system backup and it automatically includes my current catalog in its backup routines. So I don't use Lightroom's automated function. And my response to that is, hey, that's fine. It's your stuff. But if you want to have an extra layer of protection, not just against hard drive failure, but against human induced problem, then Lightroom's automatic function is free. It's already in there. It's scheduled. It's automatic. So it even includes the opportunity to run the optimize function on the catalogs, which kind of does a little housekeeping and clears away some of the clutter. And it even now, in starting in Lightroom 6 and Lightroom CC, it compresses the resulting backup copy into a zip file. So it's taking up very little hard drive space. And it creates these iterative copies that where I've seen it help people is like, especially in the book module, is they've done all this work on a book and they maybe had the book printed and then they've life's gone on a little bit. But for whatever reason, they accidentally deleted that collection, that saved book collection, or maybe they've done something to it and messed it up, and they want to reprint that book, and they just realize that. And all of their, because they're, if they only relied on their current, you know, full system backup, they only have a backup copy of the working catalog that doesn't have that information anymore.
Right.
But if they had just been using that automated backup function, now they have some iterative copies that are zipped up nice and small that they could go back to and actually take that data out of that catalog file and bring it back into their current catalog and get all that work back. So
Right.
I've also seen cases where it's pretty rare, but a Lightroom catalog can sometimes get corrupted. Mostly it seems to happen when the catalog is stored on an external hard drive and maybe the drive gets knocked off by your cat or something like that. But sometimes I've seen where catalogs maybe have some signs of corruption, but they're still functional. But if that catalog that's failing is the one that's being continually backed up in your full system backup, you're not getting any warnings. But by running the automated backup function, the other thing it does is it runs an integrity check on the catalog as part of that process. And that might throw up a red flag if there's a problem and alert you to that sooner than total failure. So I think it's just, for me, a no-brainer to use it. Even if you only use it once a week, it could really save you down the road. And the only downside is, as we were talking about before, is that you have to be the one who's in charge of cleaning up the old backup copies.
And actually, let me actually share my screen now, and we'll dive in and just show what that looks like for people. So the place where you would set that is in Lightroom. You would go to Catalog Settings. And again, on Windows, that would be in the Edit menu. That's correct?
Yep.
And then there is a an option here that says Backup Catalog. I have mine set to every time Lightroom exits. Now, I do not necessarily back it up every time Lightroom exits. Sometimes if I haven't really done a lot of significant work in the catalog, I may just skip it. But if I have done a lot of significant work in the catalog, I will back it up. So you can, you know, set it to be the next time you exit Lightroom, you know, once a week, once a day, etc. Now the thing to be aware of is that every time you do this, it does create a file that is stored on your hard drive where you specify it. Now, once you exit Lightroom and the backup prompt comes up, that's where you tell it, you know, where to back up. And, you know, in terms of general backup strategy, if you're backing up your Lightroom catalog to the same hard drive where your primary catalog is stored, that's not really a backup unless you also have some other, you know, overall system backup.
That's right.
So you want it to be backed up to a different drive, or at least make sure that the drive is being backed up for it to be a real backup.
When I'm on my laptop, what I do is, because it only has one drive and I may not have an external connected, I have the backup copy directed to my Dropbox folder.
Oh, and that's good.
When I'm on internet, then it gets automatically synced up to the cloud and then even to my other machines. So
yeah, it's a good idea.
That's what I do when I'm traveling.
Yeah. But do you recommend, I've heard that there are potential problems with running actually a working version of a Lightroom catalog from a Dropbox folder.
Yeah, I've not done that. People ask me about that, and I know that there are some people I highly respect who do that, but I think it's a little too much potential for self-inflicted injury for the benefit for me. So if you want to do that, and I don't say don't do it or do it, I'm trying to be very neutral on it. It's theoretically possible. People do use it, but you have to make sure that the sync process has entirely happened before you shut down your computer. You know, and then if you do that, then you probably should be fine. The problems would be if you did that, you're running a catalog out of a Dropbox folder, you shut down, you close the lid and you pull the plug or whatever, it doesn't have time to sync, then you open up that same catalog on another computer before it had synced from your old one, and now you've somehow created a problem for yourself.
Yeah,
because in that folder when you open the catalog is also that preview cache, and that preview cache has to also, you know, go through its synchronizing, and so that, you know, you're putting a lot of data up and down the pipe. I don't know, for people, some people it works for them. Hey, works for you. I always feel like, hey, you understand what you're doing, and it works for you, then via con Dios, go for it. For me. I've never done that, and I'm happy with it. So,
but I like your solution for storing the backups there, because that is a way. Of course, it syncs, and the backups are not really a catalog file that you're accessing. you know, right. on a regular basis. You're really only accessing them if there was some need because something had to happen with the main catalog.
Right. And if I did access it, I would unzip it and then I would move it from that location out of my Dropbox folder to where my main catalog was operating from, my pictures folder, you know, mm-hmm. wherever it happens to be. So I wouldn't actually, for me, wouldn't run it out of my Dropbox folder. But.
So apropos the backups, here is a folder of backups. And this is actually a folder, kind of a hodgepodge. This is on a drive that I was using for a time as a backup drive. Now I'm using another one. And this has got stuff from, a few days ago, back to, you know, a couple of years ago, 4 years ago. It's kind of embarrassing.
You just keep that in there to make the point. That's all.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I know I'll need this for a demo one day, so I'll keep it. But, you know, so this entire backups folder is about 6 gigabytes. And you know, you can see the size of the catalog file here is, you know, roughly 600, 700 megabytes, some more, some less, you know. But, you know, I don't need all this old stuff here. I mean, God, 2012, I don't need any of that stuff. So I can select all that stuff and get rid of it. I'm just going to move that to the trash. Now, of course, you know, the way the trash works on a computer or the recycle bin, it's still hanging out there until you go in and empty it. So it is still taking up hard drive space until you empty your trash. But what I do with these backup folders is that, you know, I try to remember every once in a while to kind of go in and clean out the older ones. And I usually try to keep, and this is, you know, not my primary backup folder here, but I usually try to keep a running total of maybe the most recent, you know, 5 to 6, maybe 8 backups, because if something has gone wrong with my catalog, I should know it by then, and then I can always go back to, you know, one of the more recent backups and restore.
Yeah. Hey, can I share a relevant story now that you have that open there?
Yeah.
So this goes back to my earlier tip around setting the default catalog, and this is a true story that's happened more than once that I've tried to help people with this. And they had the load most recent. They never changed it. That was their default. Prior to Lightroom 6, Lightroom CC, the backup catalog was not compressed into a zip file. So it looked just like a catalog file. It had the same file extension, same name, just was in a folder. And so what I've encountered certain people have done in the past is they one day hear a tutorial about, you know, they're back running the backup and they think they should run it. So they run it. And then at some point they go, oh, what is this? What's in a backup catalog? And they open up the folder and they double click on the catalog and it opens into Lightroom. And they go, oh, it's an old copy of my catalog. And then they quit Lightroom. And then they continue on with life. They open up Lightroom the next time. And because it was set to load most recent, guess which catalog opens? The one in their backup. Mm-hmm. But it looks just like the one they were working on because it has, you know, pretty much all the same stuff. So now they're importing new photos and they're being managed by this old backup copy. And now what was their main working copy of their catalog is sitting unused in their pictures folder, most likely. And then some amount of time goes by and they read another tutorial that says, hey, you should periodically go and delete all your old backups. And they go, I've been using this backup function for a while now. I should go delete. And they go back and they delete all their old backups. And guess what? They just deleted not only their old backups, but that darn one that they had noodled around in that became their working catalog. And that's been deleted too. And then the next time they launch Lightroom, it says, hey, I can't find your catalog. Well, that's because it was deleted. Then they stumble on the old one that's gathering dust in the pictures folder and they open it up and they realize all their work for the last 3 months has been gone. And so
that is a bad one.
That's a bad one. And that's why I am so adamant about people changing from that load most recent to specifically dialing in a catalog, knowing where your catalog is, and then keeping your backups in a separate place, you know, it all works together. And so hopefully.
And when you upgrade to a new version of Lightroom, that's always a preference to double check because, you know, don't assume that it's going to inherit what your old preferences settings were vis-a-vis the load most recent or not.
Yeah.
I mean, it should inherit it, but I've run into situations before where it didn't, you know.
All right.
Well, you know, while you mentioned a total disaster scenario, and so the thing to clarify there for people who might be hearing about that and going, oh my God,
right.
is that the Lightroom catalog with all of their recent work would have been, you know, deleted, but of course they still have their other slightly dust gathered catalog that was their real main catalog, only it doesn't have the most recent images. Let's say the Great Trip to, you know, Yosemite and Bryce Canyon or whatever. However, the images are still on the hard drive in the folder
right.
where you imported them to. So it's right. not all is lost. But what if you had done a ton of really brilliant develop work and keywording right. and all that? Here is one thing that could potentially save your bacon. In the Lightroom preferences.
Catalog settings.
The catalog settings. So I'll go down here under the catalog settings. Go to catalog settings there. There we go. Under metadata. There is an option here, which has its pros and cons. And Rob described this earlier with a perfect expression. He said, this is kind of like inside baseball talk. So it gets kind of geeky, but it's good to understand this. This preference here says automatically write changes into XMP. Now, what goes on with that is that Lightroom is a database program. So the changes that you make in the develop module or the keywords that you add or captions that you add, image titles, copyright information, whatever, all that is stored in the database record for each, you know, individual image. It's not actually stored, you know, with the image itself. So in that scenario that Rob described, where a catalog had been accidentally deleted, you know, all that information would have been lost. You'd still have the photos, but you would have lost all your work. However, if you check automatically write changes into XMP, it is creating a separate XMP file, which is just a small text file. It's you know, it weighs hardly nothing in terms of the space it takes up on your hard drive.
Right.
That is written for each image you're working on, whether you're adding keywords to it or whether you're doing develop modules, or excuse me, develop adjustments. And I have run into a situation where something similar happened to one of my consulting clients. And because he had this turned on, it totally saved his bacon, metaphorically speaking, yeah. because we were able to re-import the images into a new Lightroom catalog. And because those XMP files were there, Lightroom saw it, and all his previous development adjustments and keywords, et cetera, all came along, and it was a happy ending.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are the potential downsides to using automatically write XMP?
Well, first, it's important to understand that Lightroom, whether that's checked or unchecked, Lightroom always treats the data in its own catalog file as the primary source of current information, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you check this box, you're now telling Lightroom to say, okay, when you're done writing to the catalog, go ahead and write to the affected photos as well. Mm-hmm. And so now Lightroom is doing one more task kind of behind the scenes. Now, granted, it may not be a very big task, but when you first time you, if you've never had that box checked and you check it and you've got 135, you know, images being managed by that catalog, Lightroom's going to be busy for a while because it now has to update, has to automatically write to every one of those photos to make sure the XMP metadata space of each photo is matching what's stored in the catalog. And so when Lightroom 1 first shipped, that box was checked by default, because that's what the Camera Raw plugin in Photoshop and Bridge does, is it writes to the XMP file. There's no catalog, there's no database, you know, that's involved there.
Yeah.
So what happened, though, back then, that was, what, 8 years ago or more, you know, hardware was not as robust as it is now. The program was not as robust. It was a 1.0 program. And that kind of performance hit was a lot more painful than it probably is now.
Yeah.
So that was one of the reasons why, as a default, it became unchecked.
Mm-hmm.
Is just that it's doing one more job behind the scenes. The other thing to keep in mind is that the Lightroom catalog file itself is the only place that stores every single thing you do inside the Lightroom catalog.
Yeah.
Not everything you do inside of Lightroom can be written to this XMP metadata space.
And like so collections.
Collection membership, or regular collection membership anyway, cannot be written to XMP. Virtual copies cannot be written to XMP. Flags cannot be written to XMP. And yeah, all the individual...
The flags, that's sort of an interesting lack there, the fact that you think that that's just a simple metadata tag. Why isn't that in XMP?
Yeah, there must be some specification thing. It's beyond me. I don't know, but it's not there. And then all the individual history steps inside the history panel in the develop module aren't written into XMP. Now you can live without all of those things. You know, you might have to rebuild your collections if you're heavily invested in the collection piece. If you had a lot of virtual copies, that could be painful. That could be a bit of a loss. But if you take advantage of the snapshot functionality, snapshots can be written to XMP. So there's ways to work around that if you understand, you know, what the limitations are. And I think, and the other thing, again, this is really kind of techie edge stuff, but for example, if you're someone who uses the DNG, convert to DNG format, so you have all these DNG raw files, there's no sidecar file, right? It's just Lightroom can actually write directly to the DNG file itself. And so if you do something like you have a big keywording session and you finally get around to keywording all 135,000 of your photos, and they're all DNG files, well, those DNG files are going to appear as having been changed because you've just added this one keyword to the metadata. And that if you have a full system backup and it only backs up stuff that's new or changed, you're going to have to reback up, 4 terabytes of data now. So for people who worry about that kind of thing, that's just one more thing to keep in mind, is that when you do anything inside of Lightroom, it's going to make it appear that the photos, if you're using DNG files, if you have a little sidecar file, then it's just this little text file, right? If you're not converting to DNG, then that's just like 4K of data. That's not a big deal. That changes. That's nothing to back up. So those are the things that I've heard people say as a, just to be aware of, not like don't do it, but just like, weigh this out and see what works best for you.
Right. Yeah. Those are all good tips. So I have one final tip here, and then we'll kind of segue out here because we're coming up to about an hour. And that tip is, in your Lightroom catalog, if you want to move or rename folders, you need to do so here within Lightroom. So for instance, I have this folder here that just has the basic name that was created when I imported it, which is a date. If I come out to where that folder is stored on my hard drive here, and I rename that to, how I would want to rename it, and I'll just call this Santa Cruz, because that was taken in Santa Cruz. If I do that, you can see here that folder now has a question mark on it, because I have just renamed the folder outside of Lightroom, and Lightroom has now lost track of it, because it's looking for this folder here. So, and while I'm here, I'll just, I'll right click on that and I'll just choose find missing folder. And Lightroom is going to open up a little dialogue that's going to allow me to go and find that missing folder.
So it's important. I always tell people that that find missing folder is not like a command you give to your dog to like go find it. It's more like open this dialogue and then manually you have to go find it.
Yeah, Lightroom, which is what I'm doing right now.
Exactly.
Yes. So here it is right here. So I'm just going to highlight that and click choose. And it is going to put it in here. And as soon as it comes in, we can see that it's right there.
Yeah.
So the way to rename it here real quick here is you, again, right-clicking. Right-clicking is you can find so many amazing tasks when you right-click. So I'll just click on this picture of the vase that I took last night. If I right-click, I can choose rename, and then I can rename that folder. And I'll just call this vase studio session. And Another great way, advantage to actually putting some descriptive name in the folder name is that it becomes a searchable piece of data that you can search both through Lightroom and on your main, you know, computer operating system.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's a great tip.
Well, those were a lot of excellent tips, and I'm sure that you feel the same way that I do, that we have like barely scratched the tip of the iceberg in terms of useful tips for new Lightroom users. You know, I had a whole list of things here that we didn't even have time to get to, but I think that we got to a lot of the really important meaty ones in terms of how Lightroom functions and just the real important things that people need to be aware of.
Yeah. The important thing is you need to be in charge. You are the driver of the vehicle. You need to know where everything is and make all the right decisions. Don't leave it all to automatically happen, you know, magically.
Yeah, because then chaos may ensue and heartbreak will follow.
That's right. Yeah.
So Rob, where can people find you out on the internet?
My much neglected blog, lightroomers.com, is where eventually everything goes. I'm a little behind keeping that updated. I write for photofocus.com sometimes. Mm-hmm. I also have I just did a series this a couple months ago for Lightroom Killer Tips on 10 things to tell new users. Scott Kelby had done it and invited me to join in on it. And so if you go to Lightroom Killer Tips, you can find a lot of tips there, Lightroom related. So, that's probably it.
And you also do lead workshops occasionally. I know you're out in Yosemite a few
weeks
ago.
That's right. I was just out in Yosemite, beautiful place. They were so glad there's some rain and snow. We have water in the waterfalls in November, which was awesome. So the digitalphotoworkshops.com. We haven't figured out our 2016 calendar yet, but we run two or three workshops, mostly inside the continental U.S., hit the kind of big national parks and stuff like that.
All right, great. Well, I'll put links to all of those in the show notes so people can click on those and easily be transported through the magic of the internet to those web pages.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate you coming and sharing your wisdom and suggestion with these tips. It was fun and good information, definitely.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me on, and I wish you a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday.
Yeah, indeed. Cool. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in and joining us here on The Fix. Remember, you can always listen to the audio version of The Fix either on iTunes or also on the webpage. There's a link to download the audio version, and that webpage is thisweekinphoto.com/thefix. And of course, that's where you can view the video version as well. Hope you found these tips useful. We'll be back next week with another episode of The Fix. I'm Sean Duggan. Thanks for watching. Catch you next time.